So perhaps you could relate this, what Dan just talked to, about your napping data.
Hi.
You're good.
Is it
good morning.
On? Okay, I'm actually not going to talk about my data. I'm going to do something a little more like a journal club because I recently, just 2 days ago, got an article that I was asked to comment on, and it's embargoed still until February 12th. So I'm not going to tell you who the authors are or where it was done, but it's a very well-respected group, I'll say that. And I think it's an epidemiological study going on, and it's from Greece. And it's I think it's very interesting, and I just thought I would follow up with what we just heard from Dr. Kripke with some of this new data. So what is the correlation between NAPS and coronary heart disease? Well, one thing is that countries where siesta is more normal, right, is a more frequent experience, have low mortality rates of coronary heart disease. But the problem with looking at these large epidemiological studies, right, is that a lot of issues are comorbid with long sleep or more siestas, right, increased sleepiness, such as illness, right? When you are ill, you show increased napping, increased sleep. As you get older, you also show increased napping, increased sleep. Diet can definitely interfere with sleep. It can actually make you sleep more, right? Whether you're healthy or not in your eating habits has also been shown to be related to increased risk for heart disease. Whether you're working versus retiring, what your stress levels are. Also, depression, right, is also shown to have a comorbidity with both heart disease and increased sleep. And also, of course, physical activity. Physical activity is, of course, negatively correlated with heart disease, but also if you're napping more, you're not actually as physically active. So there's all these things you have to be taking into consideration. So what is the controversy in the literature? Well, there hasn't really been a huge study that has actually looked at the relationship between sleep of siestas and increased risk for coronary heart disease with the correct controls, because a lot of the research has just basically looked at how many people do have siestas and how many people die of coronary heart disease. And so a Greek study found that there would be a negative correlation between siestas and heart disease, whereas a larger Costa Rican study actually found that people who took more siestas had an increased risk for death by coronary heart disease. So one question is, how do we control the sample? Oops. Okay, so this is this Greek study, and I'm just going to tell you about it. So what they did is they evaluated 28,571 adults, which is a nice sample. And over a six-year period, they actually were able to follow up with these people. 94% of the people they were able to follow up. It's part of a 10-country investigation into the cancer and nutrition, which is called this EPIC study. What they measured was their physical activity. They also made sure that in the follow-up, they excluded subjects that at the first evaluation had any prior conditions of heart disease, who had any kind of, I think also major sleep problems. The sample was large enough that they were able to separate the older versus the younger and actually do it had enough of an N in the working and retired people that they can do a comparison. And they also measured diet, and what's been found for Mediterranean diet eaters is that they have a decreased risk for coronary heart disease, so they're able to look and see what is the relationship there. So of the naps, they looked to see whether people napped at all. They had three groups. One was a group that never napped. The other one napped occasionally once or twice a week. And the other one nappers were regular nappers, three times or more a week of 30 minutes or longer. Okay, so what did they find? They found that coronary heart disease was negatively correlated, this is old information, with education, physical activity, and also the Mediterranean diet. But now the really interesting part is that they found that this is compared to people who never napped. Of the people who are occasional nappers, those people had a 12% lower rate of coronary heart disease. And most importantly, those people who were regular nappers had 37% lower rate of coronary heart disease. And this is, and also when they controlled for age and BMI, that did not alter results. They were also able to look at, separate the workers, people who were in their working age, which is mean age of 47, I believe, and retired who were in their mid-60s, I think 65 was the mean age for the retired. And they found that it was a much stronger correlation in the worker, the working population. And of course, had some explanation, like it had to do with decreasing stress. So what are we concluding here? That obviously this study is the first to really, in a very nicely controlled manner, look at what can we do to control our coronary heart disease, and just to compare 37%, right, to what we now have as our as some methods for controlling heart disease. One is, you know, the blood pressure medication. A large study published in JAMA showed that these blood pressure medications can lower your heart disease risk by 29%, which is good, but it's not 37, right? Cholesterol medication could lower your risk at 17%. And in women, this Harvard Nurses' Health Study actually showed that a 30-minute walk a day decreased risk by 30 to 40%, which is very high. All right, and then also what we were talking about yesterday is how can we look at CPAP, right, as a can we do a big epidemiological study of this sort to look and see what is the decreased risk? Also, new studies showing red wine can be actually good for decreasing your heart risk. So that's all I wanted to actually say in terms of the data that I found to sort of talk about napping and health risks. And
so the conclusions you draw from that are, I mean, to add to that. Just.
Yeah, so so we're in America, right? I don't know whether we could actually do a study like this, whether it would be possible that Americans would have this increased rate of napping in general, that we could actually look and see, is there enough people who actually nap more than three times a day, a week? If so, is it that these people who nap regularly, is it the fact that they're napping regularly, they're able to decrease their stress? What is the cause of that? If we suddenly had people who were not napping, to suddenly try to get them to start napping, does that have the same effect as a cultural norm of napping? Those are all sort of questions that I think are pretty interesting.
So just one more thing. So this was just a Greek cohort.
This is not, all Greek.
This is not part of the rest of the EPIC study.
No.
Because the EPIC study does all of Europe.
EPIC study is going to be 10 countries that are going to be reporting back, but this one is just based on the Greek study.
Okay. Terry?
Yeah, just to clarify, in this study, I take it that these were all normal people, right? They weren't at risk for anything, because I think some of these other studies were probably taken from people, right? Actually, could you go back to that slide?
Which one?
The last slide you had on.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay, like for example, the blood pressure meds. Obviously, you're not taking blood pressure meds unless you have high blood pressure, right?
Right.
So those are the subpopulation that's at risk. So it would be a little bit difficult to compare that group to a normal group that apparently benefits, a normal group that benefits from a nap, right? So it's comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, it might be. I think that's it's a good point.
So Sarah, during regular sleep, you usually have a very interesting circadian modulation of glucocorticoids, which actually affect cholesterol. Do you know if the same phenomenon occurs also during naps?
I've actually been trying to look into that, whether actually there's a decrease in cortisol through napping, as there's obviously an increase in cortisol across the day. I haven't actually found anything specifically that answers that, and whether there's actually, as you go into a nap, do you have an increase in growth hormone or any of these health-related kind of more restorative qualities that we find from nocturnal sleep. I don't know, but that is kind of a question for sure.
Were there any other questions? Oh, okay.
I just wondered, is there any difference between the the pattern of sleep, the night sleep, and or psychological status of people who are non-nappers, occasional nappers, or regular nappers. I mean, is it just related to napping, these data, or is there something underlying that makes this difference?
Yeah, there hasn't been any studies looking at the differences between people who are regular nappers and people who are non-nappers. The only study that is related to that is looking at the actual sleep during a nap between people who are regular nappers and non-nappers. And what's been found is that those people who are given a nap who are not regular nappers actually go into much deeper, heavier sleep and have much more problems with sleep inertia after the nap. But that people who are regular nappers are able to fall asleep much faster, their sleep is lighter and much more restorative, and they have alertness for a longer period of time. So there does seem to be something different in terms of people who claim that they are naturally napping versus those who are not.
I think I understood you to say that there were problems with the controls in the Greek study and the Costa Rican study. Can you contrast those difficulties and what?
Yeah, so a lot. So, in terms of a large population study, if you're not looking for prior illness before entering into a study, then you're actually having all these comorbidities with your end result, right? With sort of, if you say that people who are long sleepers or people who are increased nappers, if you're not separating out those people who already have coronary heart disease or other kinds of disease that actually will increase sleep anyway. So this study in particular is trying to look at a population without having the interference of prior illness history.
Roger?
I want to add up on a bad joke. I trust that the red wine comes from the Napa Valley.
Say that again? in the Napa Valley, right. The red wine study, yeah. Well,
it was a witticism.
Napa. Okay.
Got it. Okay. Woo! Any more questions?